Greetings, it's your brother Elohim. We are live and in living color. We're going to start the day off with one of our songs from the album. So just give a listen. We're here live and I'm living in color. I'm not in my environment, so the show's going to be just a little bit different format. Today, we're just going to talk. Now, you know, I always talk about that number one topic, that big topic that should keep us all from murdering and killing each other and acting stupid out there. That one big topic we call love. So we always start out with love. But today's topic, we don't really have a topic. We're just going to talk today, talk about different things, you know. And why we bounce on love, because in this culture, we're taught to, we're taught obsessionism instead of love, you know. And we need to love each other. But we have to know what that means, okay. Now, our motto, the Elohim Five Tribes, Society of Love, Chicago Church of Christ in the Law, we say that love is the act that makes others feel good. You can't never get, you know, I don't know if you're tired of hearing about another good time of thing. If every act that you commit between your brothers, between your family, between your wife, between your children makes them feel good. And every act that they commit makes you feel good. You should be in a feel-good relationship all the way up and down the line. But now, see, this is a learned behavior, because what they have been teaching us is not exactly what we should be dealing with and how we should have it when it comes to love, okay? We're not going to get into love, but I just wanted to touch on it for a few minutes. I always do that. when you say, oh, I love you, you know what I'm saying? And now you have to ask yourself, exactly what does that mean, you love me, you know? Because there's more to all of this than meets the eye. See, love is an action word. That means you're supposed to be loving them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you say you love somebody, you're dealing with what they need, what they like, what they don't like, what they have, what they don't have, what their dreams are, where they're trying to go. All of that comes into play because you want them to have what they want. Now, the hardest thing about loving somebody, you find somebody that don't know what they want. Now, it gets a little tricky. Because you can't give a person what they want and they don't know what they want. Now, have you guessing running around like chicken with eggs, you know, trying to figure this thing out? That's not exactly how it's supposed to go, you know? So this is what we're dealing with now. So that's why we stopped the show talking about love. Just give you a little tidbit on how this love should work, you know? I've done a show on love a while ago. where strictly talked the whole show just about love. We talk about love for a whole hour, and you can talk about love for longer than that, because when you're dealing with love, it's a lot to talk about. You know, it's a lot to get into, you know? So right now, it's just, we're here, and we're just talking today, okay? So on no specific topic, I'm sorry that I haven't been able to send out no text, because for some reason, I can't receive or send text. And I haven't been able to figure out what's causing that, but it's on both my lines. So I don't know if they're just blocking me personally or whatever's going on. But it don't stop nothing. I got to keep moving, keep doing what I'm doing, okay? I'm listed every day from 8 to 9, so we're doing the best that we can to be here from 8 to 9, okay? Now, the song you heard in the beginning, I saw my album, 911 Peace Emergency, The Jesus is Coming. It's on Spotify, YouTube, Amazon. So if you want to get a copy, that would be great. That's how we pay the bills, you know, by selling my little CDs and stuff, okay? I normally play the anthem. I didn't play the anthem today. We have a national anthem, Elohim Pride Tribe, Society of Love. We have a national anthem. Let's talk about that Elohim Pride Tribe Society of Love for a minute. Now, let's think about that, you know? When we talk about five tribes, what exactly are we talking about? We're talking about black, brown, red, yellow, and white. And a lot of times, they don't want us to get into the color thing, you know, because they ain't got everything sort of screwed up out there. That we're using a person's color as a means to discriminate against them and all that. And that's not how it's supposed to work, okay? Because, first of all, no modern man is indigenous to this planet. Hello? I'm going to say that again. No modern man is indigenous to this planet, all right? So we were going to talk about the indigenous people. Indigenous people are Sasquatch, Bigfoot, the Bahamas, and all that's the name they've given them. But they're the original people. They're the indigenous people to this planet. And they have learned to hide from us because they're so stupid. Although a couple of, Sasquatch people got married to some people up there. One of those counties, states, or something, you know. I say they had difficult talking because of the way they are spoken and stuff is set up. But, you know, do you believe what you read? Or should I say, do you accept what you read? Oh, we don't believe nothing. So so this is what we are, Alien Fire Tribe. That's what we're talking about. Now, the reason why we say that, because if you go back into the Bill Gunn oral history, it'll tell you where we literally come from. We come from Sirius A, B, and C. And each one of us have a planet around one of those suns up there, you know? And it's that planet that we come from, black, brown, red, yellow, white. That's right. The white man didn't pop out of the black man, you know, as they're teaching. That's not how it went, you know? I'll get into a little bit so that we have some kind of history on that. We're incorporeal beings formed of flesh. And we first came in through the came in from the incorporeal realm to the corporeal realm, we we had the ability to draw around us any kind of being that we wanted to be, you know. Some people call them shapeshifters, but go a little further than that. So wherever the atmosphere on a planet is, we can design a body to fit that particular atmosphere. Because the body is not really who we are, okay? So that's one thing that we have to get into. That incorporeal entity that's inside of you, that's who you really are. That immortal being, that's who you really are. Okay, that's why the book, the Bible says that we're God. You know, so we'll get more and more into that as we go along. But no matter, man is indigenous to this planet. Okay, now, I just like to throw out there, which I'm going to do every time I get on the radio, every time I talk, I'm going to throw out there what's going on with the Bible, because the Bible is basically what we must be talking about, you know? What's going on is that the Bible has its own thought process, okay? And all of these believers out there who say they believe in the Bible, they're coming with a thought process from whatever group that they're in. But it's not the Bible's thought process. See, this message really has to get out there. Although this message is pretty dangerous to the powers that be, because it could change the face of everything out there, you know? Change how women are treated, change how we're treated once you get into the actual thought process of the Bible. And I want to make sure I lock you into that every time I come on the airwaves. Now, I'm not sure I'll be able to be on for a whole hour, but we're going to do the best we can, okay? And but the show is dated and locked in, so you know that it's a fresh show. It's a live show. And we do have close to 400 episodes back there that you can listen to from time to time when you get a minute, you know? And a lot of stuff I'm talking about is already logged in on some of those other episodes that you could listen to and check them out, okay? Now, the reason I refer you to the Dogons when I talk about we're not indigenous to this planet, because their oral tradition actually talks about where we're coming from. And a lot of us didn't know about it until the Europeans start telling us about the things that the Dogons were saying that they couldn't prove. And then once they got the little telescopes up there, they can say, oh, yeah, we see Sirius A now. We see Sirius B now. And then they want to know, how did these people know about this long before we were able to see it? You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things going on that they don't know about, that we knew about, because a lot of history has been misplaced because of the religion, because of Darwinistic religion. That religion has got these guys stirred off. They don't know which way it's up and which way it's down, you know? And the reason why they don't want to come in with the moral aspect of the Darwinian religion or evolution is because it changes. It changes the mental paradigm of the whole thing, you know, because reap what you sow. That's the moral implication of science. You don't want to do nothing that you don't want to come back into you. That's reap what you sow. Or they take that part out. They just say science. Well, what does that mean? So if you sow two chemicals together, you're going to reap a reaction. You put mathematics on it to control the reaction. That's science, okay? That's science. Now, this is a wake-up call for all those who are in earshot of what I'm doing. We do have a lot to talk about. It's a shame I can't interact with everybody because of the nature of where I am and what's going on, you know? But it's going to be like this for another week. But I will be broadcasting, so I will be broadcasting, so there will be new episodes coming on from week to week, so you can hear what's going on, okay? And there's going to be some music played in between episodes, not like before, when I was just going straight through when we're out. But I will be playing music in between some of the shows, some of the talk, okay? So right now, we opened up with, I think, Baptized with John. So this one off the album is called Get on the Boat. So I'm going to run this by you for a minute, so we're going to sit back and listen to the music for a minute, then we'll be right back, okay?
Get on the boat, let Jesus show you how to walk that water. Get on the boat, let him show you how to walk that water. When times are bad, and it seems like your life's a mess, nothing seems to work for you, although you've done your best. Seems like you're swimming, and you can't find solid ground. Jesus will help you turn your life around. When the fisherman puts my fish, Jesus is a new solid ground. Put your faith in me, I won't let you down. But you got to get on the boat, let Jesus show you how to walk that water. Get on the boat, let him show you how to walk that water. Sometimes when you're drowning and you think that there's no more life, Jesus, he will show you just how to make it right. When the fisherman puts my fish, Jesus is the least all around. Put your faith in me, cause I won't let you down. But you got to
let
Jesus show you how to
walk that water.
It's gonna take it no matter what's going on. Let Jesus show you how to
walk that water.
It's gonna take it to all your
troubles.
Let Jesus show you how to
walk that water.
He's the greatest thing I have ever found. Let him show you how to
walk that water.
When the fishermen couldn't find fish, Jesus is the least on the ground. Put your faith in me, cause I won't let you down. But you got to
get on,
I
wanna
tell you
that
let Jesus show you how to
walk that water.
Don't let nothing help you, cause help is on the way. Let Jesus show you how to
walk that water.
He's gonna take it no matter what the
way.
Let Jesus show you how to
walk that water.
Show you how to
walk that water.
Pay the price for your glory today. Let Jesus show you how to
walk that water.
No matter what's going on. Let Jesus show you how to
walk that water.
He's gonna take you to all your
troubles.
Let Jesus show you how to
walk that water.
He's the greatest thing that I have ever found. Let him show you how to
walk that water.
Okay. All right, man. So we got a little music coming in between segments here. basically, we're going to be talking about the Bible, you know, Bible 2.0. That's what this is all about. Because we want people to get into the actual thought process of the Bible. And if I got to do like commercials, like the commercials on television over and over and over, just keep bombarding, you know, but just somehow you have to get this, because this is important, okay? Now, let's give you how to access the thought process of the Bible. Start with Psalm 82. Psalm 82 says, we are all God, okay? And the first thing you have to do is ask yourself the question, why would an old, broken, rundown person like me, why would the Bible consider us God? Why? stuff that we're doing. See what I'm saying? That's a question to ask in your soul. So if you're, the problem is when you don't ask the question, you can't get an answer to a question that you don't ask. Remember that, okay? And the design of all of the religious groups out there is to frame your mind in such a way that you're not asking the right question, okay? If you accept what the Bible is saying, I'm a believer in the Bible, but if you just accept what it's saying, when it says that you are all God, okay? That brings about a question because you've accepted it. Now, you believe it in the Bible, they're going to explain it away, big G, little G, all this kind of crazy stuff, you know what I mean? But there was, in the Hebrew alphabet, there's no upper lowercase letter, so that's a bunch of nonsense. They're trying to keep you away from dealing with the power that you're carrying, that power within, that incorporeal being that actually lives inside of you. That's who you really are. That's what's carrying the power. And that being is connected to the consciousness, Christ consciousness. And Christ consciousness connects to the entire cosmos. Some people call it the universal mind. So we're going to be saying this every time I get on the airwaves. I'm going to be running this because this is so important, you know, because right now you're not supposed to be being taught by the preachers and ministers, the deacons and pastors and all that, because they're framing your mind not to ask certain questions, okay? And they're asking questions that you don't ask, all right, that fits their narrative and not yours. So you're like sitting there like a zombie. Just listening. It sounds good. And a lot of things they're saying makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. But when you think about it, the Bible has a lot of restrictions on men and women, right? In the beginning, it says, right, let us make men and women in our image. So you're not coming out children. You're not coming out little girls and little boys. That's not what you're coming out. You're coming out men and women. That's how you're coming out, okay? If the belly is capable of carrying a child, that makes you a woman. If it's not, that makes you a man, okay? It's just that simple, okay? Now, the reason why man was made for woman and woman was made for man so that we can survive. Because if we flip the script, we would literally die off because there wouldn't be enough babies being born. We need the babies, okay? The whole thing was designed to make babies, not for your pleasure, although it's very pleasurable making these babies, but the whole thing was designed for you to make babies. That's what this is all about, okay? Now, from a man, okay, you grow into your godhood. From a man, he becomes God. What is a God? A God is one who can manipulate source energy for its own purpose. You are a designer. You design things. That's what's going on, you know? Oh, wait a minute. What evidence that you have that we come out as gods and we're supposed to be some kind of designers? Look, read this for yourself. What's the right thought process? Okay? Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Oh, from the tree, we're supposed to make them as gods. They ate the fruit, so they became gods, okay? What does a god do? A god is a designer. What do they do? When the big guy come along and says, who told you he was naked? Said it was hiding from you, man, because we were saying we were naked. Well, who told you who was naked? So he didn't, something he didn't show him, right? And they sew together leaves to make an apron. That's designing. God didn't show them how to do that. But later on, to throw you off the track, God gave them sheepskin and stuff to wear. That was later on. But they made clothes for themselves to wear. They made clothes out of leaves and made an apron. It says it right in there. They became designers, all right? There's a whole lot more to it than that. We'll get into that a little long, but... for sure, what you have to understand is that it gives you evidence of the thought process of the book, okay? Now, when you think about it, if we're gods, and it says God made the heavens and the earth, and if gods are men and women, that means at one time, we had the technology to make planets. Okay, I can get into that one day too, but that's all that's pre-bar. We had the technology to make planets, and we're coming back into that technology again. The moon is a satellite. Do we have satellites up there right now? Yes, we do. We have satellites up there right now, so we're coming back into the knowledge that we once had. We are gods, like the Bible says. We're designers. So which that means that you, once you accept who you are, you can sit back and design whatever kind of life you want for yourself. You got it like that. You can be whatever you want. It doesn't matter what it is, because you have it like that. You're carrying power. This is some of the things that we want you to understand. And see, this is a lot of things that is dangerous for the 1% of the powers that be. And one of the things about the crucifixion of Jesus, that lets you know when you go against the powers that be, you have to be able to rise above the crucifixion. If you can't rise above the crucifixion, you need to slow your roll down, because they will come and crucify you. Look at the Kennedys. Look at Malcolm X. And look at the Panthers. Look at I can go on and on, so many names. John Alvarez dropped a whole bomb on this kid. Just dropped the bomb on both him and the family. You know what I'm saying? Because when you start challenging the powers that be, they have no problem with sending you to heaven. And that's a whole other thing. I just said it like that to have you thinking, because when they're talking about putting the planets together, this planet was called Heaven. That's the name of the planet. Earth is the ground, water is the seas. But the planet, all the planet together is called Heaven. And when they tell you you die, you go to Heaven. The planet is called Heaven. Think about this for a second. Everybody that you know of have died. If the planet is called Heaven, did they go to Heaven? Yes, they did. They buried in the ground. See what I'm saying? They're buried in the ground. They're in Heaven right now. See what I'm saying? But there's another part to all of this. The incorporeal being. It's not the flesh. See, the flesh goes to Heaven. You don't. The flesh, the incorporeal entity don't go to Heaven, because Heaven can't contain the incorporeal being, because it's from a different dimension. It's not even from the physical dimension. It's from an incorporeal dimension. You know? See, the more you get into the thought process of the Bible, the more it expands your thinking, expands you asking questions. Some man said, well, why don't you come and teach? I'm not qualified to teach anybody. My job is to give you the original thought process of the book. Have you linked up with the master teacher, which is Christ? Christ is the master teacher, and you can learn directly from him. You understand? You're going to learn directly from the consciousness that's permeated. The physical embodiment of Christ ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry, it ain't coming out like that, you know? Now, what's going to go down is that I'm going to give you the flow of the consciousness again. I'm going to do this every show. So you're going to hear this over and over and over until you begin to research it for yourself. Okay, you got Google, you got the internet out there. You can look up some of this stuff. Now that you're getting a clear picture of what the thought process is, okay? The oral tradition of Christ comes from the Dogon, okay? The first written tradition of Christ came from Isis and Osiris. They spell Christ K-R-S-T. The next flow came to Amun-Ra, right? After Amun-Ra comes Upanishad. After Upanishad comes Buddha. After Buddha come Jesus, after Jesus come Muhammad. You don't think of Muhammad as a Christ. That's what he was. That's all I'm saying. And he didn't tell them about he was no prophet. They put the stuff on him. He came and said, look, I'm a messenger. I don't know not what's going to become of me. I'm a messenger. That's what the man was saying. But you got to remember, in the Quran, he called you a vicegerent. You got to look that up and study what a vicegerent is. Why would the book call you, this old humble, be a person, a vicegerent, okay? There's things in there that you need to see, but you can't see them as a believer. You have to see them as a non-believer, somebody who accepts things for what on the horn. Those people that sat down and wrote this book, I'm talking about the Bible, that wrote this Bible knew exactly what they were writing, and they knew what they meant when they wrote their stuff down, okay? Because you're coming in with a different thought process from the group that you're in. It might be one of the Christian thought processes. You got baptism, you got Seventh-day Adventist, you got the truth and word of Jesus Christ, that's the Daniel Jennings, you got T.J. Jakes, I don't know, Presbyterian, I don't know what all these different religions and what they're talking about. Sister was in here earlier, she's from Africa, she's non-denominational. I didn't get into it, but what the heck is a non-denominational? I didn't get into a word, you know, because she seemed like a very tall person. Some people I can't talk to because I will break their brain. And I know that. So it's not my job to influence or convince somebody to be other than where they're at. Because where they're at right now is where they're supposed to be. And if you alter where they're supposed to be at, that will create a big problem because that might, where they live at now might keep them from selling drugs. Well, I can't say keep them from selling drugs because they're going to be selling drugs. Well, we got legal and illegal drugs. That's what I'm saying. Keep them from killing, murdering each other, lying, stealing. I should say taking drugs because the selling of a drug, that's not the issue. Taking some of these drugs, that's the issue. Anytime you take something that alters your consciousness, you're doing irreparable damage to yourself as God. Because you need a clear head. You need to be able to rationalize and think this stuff out, okay? Now, at this point, we're going to go into another song here, right? We just did Get on the Boat, you know. Now, this one is called I Found Jesus. Now, these songs are off the album. When 911 Jesus Emergency is coming, and you can get it on Amazon, YouTube, or you can listen to it on YouTube. You can't buy it on YouTube, but you can buy it off Amazon, Spotify, and places like that. Okay, so here we go. Thank you. There you go. I'm so glad I found Jesus. 911, Jesus and Mercy, the name of the album. Jesus is coming back, okay? Christ consciousness is permanent. It's permeating the entire universe right now. You just got to tap into it, okay? Let's get into a little bit of, we're just talking, so let's get into a little bit of this politics stuff for a minute, okay? Politics is basically the art of compromise, and we need to do a lot of compromise because stuff that's going on right now is kind of crazy. But I just want to introduce you to a particular thought process. President Hansen and them, okay, the Continental Congress, they misrepresent history, got up things all screwed around so you don't know who's who and what. But there were five tribes here, including what they would call a poor white trash that England done emptied their jails and sent them over here, and the other four tribes was here, showing them how to live, showing them how to grow corn and all that stuff so they can survive here, okay? Because they knew the value of all tribes working together. This was some of the Moors, some of the native people that were here. I don't know what the name of the tribes of the Indians, Cherokee, some of the other tribes that were here, you know. They understood the value of all five tribes working together, so which was kind of tricky. So when they all got together, sitting around talking, they come up with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. George Washington and them did not write the Bill of Rights. I mean, they didn't write the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. They just put their name on it. They did a military coup. Those slave masters, man. That's what they were, slave masters. They did a military coup. Ran off with the government, instigated a doggone war with Britain, and they lost. Hello? They lost. 1776 is not there celebrating a win over Britain. They're celebrating a win from being out under black rule. You didn't hear that. They're celebrating a win from being out under black rule. You know, the white tribe was under black rule. It took them 800 years to get out from under black rule. There's no coincidence when you get in there and find out who King James was, who ruled Ireland and Britain, and who some of the nobility was and Russia and all that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? And it's not hard to find out that Queen Europa, the one that set up Europe, she's the black woman. We had a global empire, and we sort of ruled, and we ruled the planet at one time. Now, well, when I say we, I'm talking about each tribe has had 2,000 years of rule. So black tribe, 2,000 years. Brown tribe, 2,000 years. Red tribe, 2,000 years. Yellow tribe, 2,000 years. White tribe, 2,000 years. So the white tribe, their 2,000 years is coming to a close. And they're fighting to stay in power. But the only way this thing is going to work is that all five tribes have to work together, okay? Now, Britain was empire building, so the Bible is an empire building book. So what they did in 1630, they legalized the term white people, right? Made themselves the chosen people, started setting up laws and statutes, and they run the planet as if they're the chosen people, as stated in Deuteronomy. If you want to know the science of slavery and what exactly they did, go to the book of Deuteronomy and read it, and it'll tell you, because Deuteronomy is definitely a science of slavery. And it'll tell you exactly what they did and what was going on, okay? Now, so I'm just saying that's how powerful the book is. The book is an empire-building book. But now you could take the same book and keep empires going and make things more like a paradise, what it's supposed to be, by implementing the laws and judgment as if all humanity is the chosen people, okay? Now, if you run it like that, then things will be a whole lot better, because the biggest problem we have right now is man's inhumanity to man. I just wanted to give you a little bit of information in reference to the history of the Continental Congress, because they're not giving you this information, okay? back there, and you watch another President Hanson was, I think he was on one of the, he was on the Brown Tribe, old Black Tribe, where he's on the Brown Tribe. They don't even want you to know that. They don't want you to know anything. And the way they're framing this stuff and doing what they're doing, now if you notice something, right, whenever you see people fighting for justice, all five tribes are there, Black, Brown, Red, Yellow, White. Look, they're all there. The five tribes come together. They want justice. They want to fight for justice. And that's what's going on. They don't have a problem with that. But they're at a point where they don't want to kill and murder people unless they pushed into a corner. So they go with the picket signs and all that, and they have peaceful demonstrations, okay? And basically that's what they've been trying to do to push this country in the right direction. Now, this country is a trust, okay? It's set up as a trust. And each trust has an indenture agreement. The indenture agreement is what runs the trust. The indenture agreement of the United States is the Constitution, okay? The Constitution is what runs the indenture agreement. And all those who are born here as beneficiaries. When he gets a certain age, he automatically becomes trustee. As a trustee, you have a right to vote. Your vote is what pushes the country in the right direction, okay? Now, some of these people have been at civil war since for 200 years now. Ever since they shot Abraham Lincoln, they realize they can't beat the five tribes physically when the five tribes are fighting for justice. So they went political on it. You know, start taking on political arena, stopping certain people from voting and all that kind of stuff, you know. This is what the slave master does. But you have to realize you want this democracy to survive as much as possible. Now, I know I might get criticized for saying this, but this country, the United States and the United States of America, has to survive. It's very important. Because if this country goes down, trust me, they're going to blow the surface of the planet apart because people do not want to live. No tribe want to live under another tribe's rule. We're tired of that, you know? So all the five tribes have to work together. Now you're saying, how can the weaker tribe destroy the most powerful tribe? You got to remember, the white tribe was a weaker tribe when they came into power. Whatever tribe, Black, Brown, Red, Yellow, White, they're the weakest tribe when they come into power. And once they come into power, they become the most powerful, okay? And after they become the most powerful, they make such horrendous mistakes that the natural process of the planet, okay, is to rotate power between the tribes. Each tribe represents 1/5 of the world's population, okay? That's why they're talking about majority rule. That means one tribe is trying to dominate the other four tribes. That's what's going on. But each tribe represents 1/5 of the world's population, and that's where we are right now. But this country, I'm going to say it again. I can't say this enough. This country has to survive. It's very important. If we lose this country and the democracy that it's pushing, we're going to be in real trouble. Okay, all five tribes are going to be in trouble because we have the power now to bring fire and brimstone. You know, they come on, yeah, well, God laid down fire and brimstone, so Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we got that kind of power now. We're coming back into that power, okay, that we can do stuff like that. And the nuclear weapons isn't the most powerful weapon that we have out there. Yeah, like I'm telling you, we're coming back into who we are, coming back into the guise of who we are, and we got military satellites up there with the neutron weapons and microwave weapons and all that kind of stuff. I think the neutron weapon can knock off a city and just kill people. The building's still standing there. They can knock you off, come in, throw you in the grave, and just move in. They have a lot of stuff going on. I think they worked out another power source too. I don't get the name of it right now, but they have some powerful, powerful sources out there, powerful sources of destruction. I can say it like that. And we have to be mindful of what's going on and who's who and what's what, because if we're not mindful, we will let this thing get away from us. Now, remember, no tribe wants to be dominated by another tribe, okay? So you got black, brown, red, yellow, white. No tribe want to be dominated by another tribe. Now, if we're accepting the Bible says that we are gods. That means we can, each tribe can design things to protect themselves, okay? Because we're all designers. You have to remember that they're arguing with Iran over its nuclear capabilities. Pakistan and India, they have nuclear capabilities. Now, Israel's over there with nuclear capabilities, subsidizing the Canaanites or the Palestinians. They're going to have to wake up and smell a coffee. They're going to have to get into the right side of this thing, because they really look at this Bible. Everywhere that the so-called Jews, with so-called chosen people, everywhere they went, when God told them, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to give you that, you can take this land, they wound up losing it. Because the universal law, there's only one law. You reap what you sow. And some of the things they have sowed have been unconscionable. I'm sitting here going through Genesis today, and when one of the sisters got raped, and they went to the people, and the people decided, they made peace about it, and they decided to get circumcised and all that. So they got circumcised and had an agreement. They came to and killed them anyway. Killed all the guys anyway. You know what I mean? And Jacob was a little cross about that. He said, now all they're going to come together and come after us. So God told them, look, y'all got to pack up and roll and leave and go someplace else. And that's what they did. But what they did was unconscionable, because they gave their word and people agreed. They got circumcised and all that. But they came back through and killed them anyway. You know what I'm saying? And how can you be, see, that's what I'm saying. How can you be following what you call God and the law and read what you sow? They should have never done that, because they have to pay for that. There's a lot of crimes that's been committed all over the planet. They're going to have to pay for those crimes. It might take a few minutes for action and reaction. That's how things work. They have once you cause the action, other reactions have to take place to bring that back to you to make you pay for what you did. Sometimes it takes a little while, but it gets interesting. But you do pay for what you do. You pay for all this crazy stuff that you're doing out here, and we need to stop doing that. And to remember, the United States have to survive. You got to put that in your mind. All those that are in earshot of this voice or this radio, you need to go and vote, okay? Do your peaceful thing out there, you know, peaceful demonstrations. Sometimes that's the only way you can get attention when the dictators take over, you know. They want to kill anybody that has something different to say about what they start talking about, you know. Like they used to do back in the days when they had the kings and the queens back then, you know. You say something against the king and the queen, they can have you killed in a heartbeat, you know. People bowing down, scraping the floor and all that, like they're gods and they're not, you know. That's what I like about the book. The book shows you where they're getting stuff from, where the power is. And if you want to live now, in Genesis, these people were living 200, 300, 400, 500 years, you know. So you have to ask yourself, you accept the book. And the book says that. So now you have to ask yourself, what were they doing that they could live that long? Okay. That takes you to Genesis 1:29. I've given you herbs and seed bearing plants for meat. You're not supposed to be eating flesh. Okay. The animal kingdom is not supposed to be eating from the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom is not supposed to be eating from the insect kingdom. The insect, all the kingdoms are supposed to be eating from the plant kingdom. We have the ability and the means to grow enough food to feed this planet and a couple other planets. The problem is man and humanity to man. The greed kicks in. Once that greed kicks in and you want all that money, you know, oh, I got $10 trillion. And the guy around the corner sleeping on the street. They can take enough money to clean out. Actually, some of these churches, have enough money if they just took 10 to 20% of what their earnings are and channeled it to the poor, they could eliminate poverty in the country, period. There would be nobody sleeping on the street, no homeless, nothing. They can buy land, set up some special housing for these people, if I understand, and make some kind of deal with the growers, the people that are growing the food, where they can make sure that these homeless people get the food and stuff like that they need. With just 10% of the money from the churches. If you get 10% of the Pope's money, you probably by yourself, you know? How these guys wax so rich? How they get so rich? Because they're following the book. If you look at Deuteronomy and look at the system that they have set up with priests and the, what do you call these guys? The priests and all those people that work for the Pope, it's slavery. It's the science of slavery. They don't own anything. They can't have nothing. It's crazy. Okay? The Pope has set up the science of Deuteronomy to make Catholic Church powerful, and Catholic Church powerful because it's but the people in the Catholic Church, the bishops and all that stuff, they're volunteering to be the slaves because they're working for God. But they don't know the God they're working for is in their mirror, but they're not collecting it because the other God in the mirror is taking all this stuff, using it for himself. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's so dangerous. The thought process of the Bible is so dangerous. And why they killed Jesus and why they took a sword to James, because of how dangerous the teachings are. It goes against what one of us didn't teach, you know? It's like they're telling you, well, women can't do this, or women can't preach, or women can't do that. According to the Bible, they're absolutely right. So when do you not be men and women and become gods? Now, what restriction do the book have on God? Says that's what you are. That means you have no restrictions, see? As a god, male or female, you can teach in church. You can do whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no restrictions on God. The only restrictions that's on God is that you reap what you sow. Be mindful of what you're doing to others because it's coming back. Hello? That's the only restriction that you have. That's on God. God is unlimited. Well, we're almost out of time here. We got about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to say this again while I got the chance. Nature is set up to protect the children. The children are men and women. Those are the children. Once the men and women go to adulthood, they call gods. They become above nature. Men and women, you can go outside right now, flap your arms, you are not going to fly like a bird. It's not natural for men and women to fly like a bird. Nature was put here to protect you as men and women, meaning as youngsters. That's what nature was set up. Nature was set up to protect you as youngsters. But once you grow into your God self, as the Bible is telling you, then nature is no longer in control over what you're doing. I love the ponics and the ponics days and the way they're coming up with new ways to grow food and all that. Nothing is beyond what God can do. We can take deserts and turn them into farmland. In fact, we're doing it. That's what the Chinese are doing now. They're taking deserts and turn them into farmland because that's what they were before we had war on this planet too. Yeah, we fought here too. It's just a long time ago. But we fought here too, you know what I mean? With our little flying ships and all that stuff, you know? And there's evidence of all of that. If you're actually looking for it, they got men sitting here with sitting in spaceships, flying stuff around and all that. They got pictures of all that stuff all over the planet, you know what I mean? All over the planet, you know? In fact, aeronautical engineer got 62 patents out of the book of Ezekiel, that's what I'm saying. How he got that much out of the book and people throwing it in the trash? Now, what are they reading that you're not reading? Something's going on here. They know something about this book that you don't. And that's what this wake-up call is to tell you about the book, tell you what's going on with the book, okay? So that you know exactly what's going on, okay? The Bible has its own thought process, and it starts by accepting the fact that you are a God. That's who you are. You are a designer. You can't jump up and say, coom pa coom, and the mountain move, but you can design something to make that mountain move. You got weapons now that can move mountains because you are a designer. You got it like that, okay? And say, well, Jesus healed the sick. We healing the sick all day long. I got this, go to the hospital. God is in there taking care of you. Your heart stopped beating. God pumped you with some electricity, wake you back up again, smack you on the butt and say, okay, see you later. You know what I mean? So all the stuff that Jesus did, we're doing now, okay? It's just not as dramatic as the way Jesus did it, but this is what you go to the hospital for. You got doctors in there, and then you got guys in there that know all their steady body all their life. And if you have a problem, they cure some things, cure this and cure that. Well, they may not cure everything, but they're working on it, okay? That's what's going on. And because 1% accept the fact that Jesus did what he did. Walking on water, man, we in control of the water. We've diverted, like with the canal, we diverted water to go from one thing to another. It was like, well, they diverted the, that's ancient technology too. They diverted the Nile River. You know, they diverted some of these rivers to do other things, you know, because the Nile don't run exactly where it was thousands of years ago. Okay? The Nile is running in a different direction, right? So once again, that's who we are. That's what we are. And we're going to continue to bring this message so you can wake up and start working together, start loving each other. Love is the act to make others feel good. Don't do nothing if it ain't going to make the other person feel good. Okay? Just don't do it. That's what's up, okay? So right now, we're signing off. This is your brother, Elohim, and we'll be broadcasting again tomorrow. And those of you who are listening and chiming in, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And we will talk again at another time. Much love.